If you're hearing this, you know about AFR, but do you know about the AFR app? With the AFR app, you can hear AFR anytime, anywhere. And now to make it even easier, we've gathered all the sources for our app together in one place at afr.net/apps. There you'll find links to Google Play and the Apple and Amazon app stores. Again, that's afr.net/apps to download the AFR app. So now you know.
The Bible. It's the Word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. This sacred book is living and active and contains all that's needed for life and godliness. Stay with American Family Radio for the next hour as we study God's Word and take your Bible questions. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
Welcome to another edition of today's program, Exploring the Word. Alex McFarland here along with Bert Harper. And we're doing something a little different than we've done. Usually we go verse by verse through books of the Bible. I suppose this might be considered a topical study, but it's a very, very important one. We are studying the Holy Spirit of God. God's Holy Spirit, third member of the Trinity. Really at work in your life, no matter who you are, the Holy Spirit of God has been operative in your life, really even since before you were born. We'll explain and we'll talk more about this. And Bert, this is a vitally important subject, what the Word of God says about the Holy Spirit, but perhaps at times a neglected subject. But I'm glad we're tackling this and talking about the Spirit of God.
Yes, Alex, I agree. Yesterday, we spent time on who he is, what he does in the believers' lives, but what is he doing today? If I had to say, I mean, there's so many things he's doing. You know, we talked about the conviction of sin. We did all that yesterday. But today, as I was trying to concentrate on it, and I know you have your area, I was thinking of how he equips the saints, the saints to do the work of the ministry. Because I just want to tell you, speaking, teaching in your own strength and your own power, it might sound pretty good. It might, you know, people might even say, man, that was great. But without the power, the ministry of the Holy Spirit, it's empty. It really is. Just like it talks about in 1 Corinthians 13, without love, you're a clanging cymbal. And Alex, the ministry of the Holy Spirit in a believer's life in ministry is vital. And have you heard this before? I don't know which evangelist said it, but I know one did. You probably will remember with your memory, but one said you could go to church and, if the pews were missing, you would know it. If the sound system was missing, you would know it. If the offering plates were gone, you would know it. But if the Holy Spirit wasn't there, everything would go on as planned. And, know, we are desperate in our day for the Spirit of God to work in our lives, work through our lives individually and collectively. And I pray that Exploring the Word would be instrumental in demonstrating that. You and I try to do that on this program. Yes, we have our format we go by. But God's interrupted it every once in a while. We say, you know, we need to pray. You know, we need to look at this. And Alex, I called it when I was pastoring and working with our staff, I called it planned spontaneity. By Amen. That, I mean you. Yes, we've got our plan. We've got our program. But we need to be ready to be led of the Holy Spirit to have it interrupted and let him take us in sometimes in a completely different direction. So we're desperate for the Holy Spirit working in and through our lives, aren't we?
We really are. You know, the quote you mentioned was by a famous evangelist named A.W. Tozer, and I think he died in the early 60s. But he did. He said that in the modern church, if the Holy Spirit were removed, very few people would notice. But in the early church, in the book of Acts, if the Holy Spirit had departed, everybody would have noticed. And let me just say this. I feel so blessed, Bert, to have been all around the block. I mean, I grew up in a Presbyterian church. I really got saved at 21 through a Baptist church that had a Monday night Bible study for college students. And then, preached all over the place and doing apologetics, traveling. I've been privileged to go to a lot of different churches of all sorts of denominations. And I tell people, you know, I jokingly say I've preached where some people sleep in the pews and other churches where they jump over the pews. It's all good. Let me say this. Even Buffalo Presbyterian, the second oldest church in the state of North Carolina, 275 years old almost, and the when I grew up there, I mean, it was pretty staid and stoic. And I remember as a teenager, we had a revival one time, and somebody said amen, and like 199 heads glared at that person like, you know, we don't do that here. But listen to this. I found this book from about 1920 called Buffalo Church and Her People. And I really do think what I'm about to say, there are probably stories like this that could be shared from the world over. But it talked about in the early 1800s when Buffalo Church was already more than 100 years old, but they had a revival. And there was a drawing of this, and it's just beautiful. A Shekinah glory cloud appeared in the sanctuary for 2 weeks. Oh, wow. And it says hundreds were baptized in the nearby river, the Buffalo Creek, which there was a river going through central North Carolina. But it said, basically, this book said blacks and whites were worshiping together, rejoicing in Jesus, being baptized, and I love the way it was worded. It said, hundreds were marvelously converted.
Amen.
Well, I got to preach there one time, and I held this book up that I had come across. I said, do you know, right above this pulpit, they say, and they drew a picture, was a Shekinah glory cloud. Now, what am I saying, folks? We've got to let God, the Holy Spirit, lead the church. And people ask me, they'll say, you know, Alex, you're an ordained Baptist and you go all over the place. What do you think about, you know, sometimes things get kind of wild and rowdy. Let me just say this. Maybe it's a danger that people get too happy in the Lord, but there's a worse danger and people that are dead. Straight as a gun barrel, but just as empty, as Vance Havner would say. And here's my point. 1 Thessalonians 5:19 says, do not quench the Spirit. Bert, anybody that's ever felt they needed to get saved, it was the work of the Holy Spirit. Anybody that they call on Jesus and their soul is regenerated, made alive, that's the work of the Holy Spirit. Growing in the Lord, understanding the Word. 1 John 2:27 says that the Spirit of God will teach us all things. Mm-hmm. And so more than ever, I want to challenge myself and everybody listening. As an individual, we follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. As a church collective, we read from the Word and we give glory to the Holy Spirit and we live each day in the power of the Holy Spirit. Would you agree?
I agree fully, completely, Alex. And I, you know, I say two thumbs up. If I had a third one, it would be three thumbs up. It is true. We desperately are in need. And I want to repeat something that I say quite often. People talk about, and I know you're a great teacher, preacher. I enjoy preaching and teaching. But I want to tell you, everybody that's been born again, they have the greatest teacher within them, the power of the Holy Spirit guiding Amen. Them. Get into the Word. Let the Word of God speak. Yes, it takes time, and Alex and I try to help. I constantly give, I would call it, you know, guidelines and studying. Always look for the repeated words. When you see the word therefore, you ask the question what it is there for. You always know which book you're in. Know if you're in the Old or New Covenant. Know if you're in history or you in a letter. Find out all those things because those will help you as you read the Word of God for God to reveal to you the truths in His Word. Now, again, it is truth and it's sanctified, but the Holy Spirit of God is able to lead you into these truths. And that's what we're wanting to do. Yes, we love to divide the Word of God here on Exploring the Word. But I just say, we got a letter recently, and we read it today. The guys here in Tupelo read it about a man that basically 25 years ago, his life was in a shambles, but he found AFR. He started listening. He started hearing, and his life has turned around, and now it's been about 29 years, and walking with the Lord. And that's the power of the Word of God in the power of the Holy Spirit, taking it home in a person's life. And he equips us. The scripture I would love to read to begin with today, Alex, and I wanted to see which ones do I want to read. And I want to read Romans chapter 12, and just starting in verse 3, listen to this. For I say, through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually member of one another, having then these gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. And then he lists quite a few there. That is the gift of the Holy Spirit of God. The moment a person is born again, yes, they already have, I would say, you know, skills. They have abilities. They have much of that. But the Holy Spirit of God comes into an individual's lives, and he gives them a spiritual gift, and it's one that is used, and it really helps you to do whatever you're doing. If you're serving at your church as a Sunday school teacher, the Holy Spirit of God, through the power of the Holy Spirit in your spiritual gift, will help you to be an encourager. It may help you to one that shows more grace. It may be the one that helps you to be a kind of identify issues and different things. So the Spirit of the Holy Spirit is so significant in our ministry in the body of Christ. I love that. We are one body, but many members. So, Alex, even if two people have the same spiritual gift, they'll be different because their personality is different, their experiences are different, their passion and their heart is different. So the Holy Spirit of God is able to take you and me. Both of us have been called of God. Both of us have a skill of teaching and preaching differently, but we still have that. But it's different because he takes us as an individual and puts the Spirit of God in us to use us to our full capacity. Is that just preachers, or is that for every believer that he wants to?
It is every believer, amen. Every believer. And, I'm so glad you read the Romans chapter 12, and there are many passages about spiritual gifts. There's a lot in 1 Corinthians, but let me read some of this. Romans 12, 4 and following, there's one body but many members. And it says in verse 4, all members do not have the same office or place they're going to serve. So we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. And these lists in Romans 12, 6 and following, prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. And I believe it's forthtelling the word of God. This word prophesy in this sense is not foretelling the future, Bert. I believe it is accurately forthtelling,
amen, brother.
God's
amen.
Word,
yes.
Which will always point to Christ the Savior and people to be saved. Verse 7 of ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching. He that exhorts, and exhortation is really encouragement and lifting people up. And there, Bert, have you ever known any believers and the room just got brighter by them coming in?
Amen.
I mean, they carried about them just this uplifting spirit of exhortation.
Amen. And those people, bless you. And they not only do it in the room, but they send notes, they send emails. It's so encouraging. And we get them, we hear them. So use your gifts for the glory of God and the edification of the body of Christ. Meet Kelsey. When she found out she was pregnant, she wasn't sure where to turn. After meeting with the counselors at Preborn Network Clinic, who loved and supported her, and after hearing the baby's heartbeat on a free ultrasound, she chose life.
Yes. When a mother looks at her child through a sonogram, it does something to you. You know, I ended up deciding to keep my son, who is now 5 years old today. He's amazing. He brings absolute joy to my heart. I could not imagine life without him. Not only did they help me save his life, they saved my life.
By introducing a woman to her baby on ultrasound, a baby's chances at life doubles. If you have the means, would you consider a leadership gift to save babies in a big way? Your tax-deductible donation of $5,000 will sponsor Preborn's entire network for 24 hours, helping to rescue 200 babies. To donate, dial 250 and say the keyword baby. That's pound 250 baby. Or donate securely at preborn.com. That's preborn.com/Bert Harper.
My heart's always on the run. These days the world's spinning out of control. Ooh. These days are fast and they're furious. Feels like the worst is ahead of us. Ooh.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word. Bertie and Alex here. And we thank you for listening. We just appreciate you so much. This program just wouldn't be the same without those folks who are listening. And in the next segment, don't call yet. It'll be about 15 more minutes before the phones will open up. But we have a number. You can write it down, 888-589-8840. And you can call us with your Bible question. Alex and I love those. You can have prayer requests. Alex and I, we believe this is a big Bible study group, like we now they call them life groups, small groups. We used to call it Sunday school, and some people still do, but it's like a group of people caring for one another, and we pray for one another, share with one another. So we would love to hear from you. And so if you want to find out more, you can also go to word@afr.net and ask us questions that way, or you can live stream us on Facebook. Brent, are we doing all right with Facebook these days? I think you put a picture on it of your shirt that you're wearing today.
And Jody's shirt,
Jody,
also.
Jody Brown from our
back the
news
Beach
department.
Boys just for Alex.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Alex, you can see it. And you're just talking about when someone lights up when they come in the room. And
yes.
Brent does that today, I guarantee you, with the shirt he
has
on.
As long as I keep the shirt watered.
Okay, properly. It's that way. But anyway.
Well, I got to see that.
Yeah.
So we've been asking people to like us on Facebook. We're trying to get to 10,000 likes, which is just amazing because it wasn't many months ago that we even started this. But like us on Facebook, and Brent Austin, thanks for overseeing that. And That's an extension of our ministry. You know, Bert, I got to say this. You were talking about how we pray for each other. This is Exploring the Word, but a part of this is intercession.
Amen.
And intercession is us praying for each other, isn't it?
It really is. And we believe in that. We have people that write the name down. If Nancy calls from Kansas and has a prayer request, we have people that write their name down. I'm one of them. I write Nancy's name down. And I try to put a note by it and pray for her, especially the next 24 hours. And we have people that do that. So we enjoy that. And we have some days that we've just said, you know, we was talking about being led of the Holy Spirit, Alex. We have some days we just say, you know, today should be a day of prayer. And we don't do it all the time. We tried to let God let us know when to do it. And but we praise God for that. And that's what we're talking about. Being led of the Holy Spirit in your life. And you were reading from Romans chapter 12, and you got as far as verse 8 with some, and it says exhortation, and then it says something about giving. You mean there's a ministry, a spiritual gift of giving, Alex?
I really think there is. There are really, in verses 6 through 8 of Romans 12, there's really seven spiritual gifts. Prophecy, which is really proclaiming God's word, ministry, teaching, exhortation, giving. Let him do it with simplicity, it says, which is really, it really means sincerely. And he that ruleth, do it with diligence.
That's leading, isn't it? Leadership.
It is.
Yeah.
there are people that are put in positions of leadership. And, you know, it really is a beautiful thing when somebody, they have authority, they exercise authority, they're in leadership and administration, but they do it in a very Christ-like way. That's a beautiful thing. And then mercy showing with cheerfulness. And so, Bert, let's talk for just a minute, just very briefly, about the gift of giving. I have met some people, and God gave them great skill, maybe in business or in other areas, but they were very successful. In fact, I'm thinking of two different families that I knew in North Carolina, both very, very successful, one in the grocery store business and one in the rubber business, like making pipes and gaskets. You never would have known, never would have known that these people were wealthy because they gave so much to missions and they lived very simple lives, but they gave truly millions of dollars to world missions. And they both were just humble, dedicated Christian families, but you know, that not many people knew it. But here's the thing. All of us, that we do whatever we do, it's for the glory of God and the furtherance of the Great Commission. And Bert, let me say this, and I'll throw it back to you. Statistics show earlier this year there was a big study of people stressed and depressed. And even among young people, almost 70% of young people say they feel hopeless. And let me just say, folks, when you're born again and you know your purpose and your spiritual gift, as every born-again believer has one or more spiritual gifts, and I think even within two or three spiritual strengths, there's probably going to be one that's dominant. Listen, you've got a purpose in life. As a Christian, you're doing things that count for eternity, and that it maybe there's a long chain of obedience, but all of us, whether it's praying, preaching, serving, giving, helping, it's part of bringing souls to salvation. And that's worth living for, isn't it?
It really is. It is for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now, how's the body edified? It's added to, it's encouraged, it's challenged. And this is what it's about. Another passage that I wanted to get to concerning the ministry of the equipping of the Holy Spirit is in Ephesians. You know it quite well. And he talked about Jesus ascending. But it says in chapter 4, verse 8, when he, Jesus, ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Do you remember what he said? I must ascend, but the Holy Spirit's going to come, and he's going to do great works in you. And then it goes on. It says, verse 11, and he himself gave some to the apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, teachers. Now listen to the next few lines in verse 12. For the equipping of the saints, that the saints will do the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now, Alex, edifying and evangelism, and here it is, equipping. The Holy Spirit of God, if he's not involved in evangelism, if he's not involved in the edifying, if he's not involved in the equipping, it's not going to go anywhere. It may have a Do you remember fireworks? You know, you remember those things, Roman candles is what they used to call. They would shoot out and they would fade away. That's the way a lot of them is. But they had these little sparklers and different ones, and it continues on. You know, the glow wasn't quite as big, but I want to tell you, guess what you could do? You could have that sparkler or that plump that some people called it was slower burning, and you could light the firecrackers, you could light the Roman candles off of them. And so this is the whole idea, the edifying of the body of Christ as we do evangelism, as we edify the body, as we equip the saints. The Holy Spirit of God leading the way, helping us to do that with what? The gifts that he's given us. Mm-hmm. And that's the whole idea. Does he waste anything? I don't think he wastes anything. You know, he doesn't waste your experiences that you've had. He doesn't waste the skills and abilities that you might have, but he'll use them for his glory and our good of the edification for the body of Christ in bringing others to Christ as well. This is the ministry of the Holy Spirit, equipping us and edifying us to do that, isn't it, Alex?
Well, amen. And, you know, we're talking about Romans here for a second. I'm going to give you one more verse, Romans 15:13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Bill Bright of Campus Crusade, great Christian leader, there's a very famous tract they wrote called Have You Discovered the Wonderful Spirit-Filled Life? I'm sure it's probably online. It's probably a free download or something like that. But every believer is indwelt with the Holy Spirit from the moment of salvation. But, Bert, I really think we have to cultivate because, you know, back to Romans 12 where it says, you know, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And many have preached on the fact that that word of transformation is a variation of the Greek word for metamorphosis. You know, just like a caterpillar turns into a butterfly, that's a metamorphosis. Well, the lost sinner who gets saved, that's a change. But then the saved sinner who grows and matures. And it really is a beautiful thing. And let me say, no matter where you are in your journey with the Lord, maybe you've been a Christian for many years, or maybe you're a new believer. Sometimes we use the phrase a baby in Christ, meaning you've somewhat recently just put your faith in Jesus. But above all, let the Spirit of God be your predominant voice you follow every day. Bert, I hate to sound very subjective, but very often it's just a feeling. When God is leading you to do something, like to reach out to somebody and try to talk to them about Christ, or to try to start, you know, a ministry in your church. I had one time a reporter was asking me almost kind of sarcastically, you know, well, did you hear a voice? You know, and I said, no, it was much stronger than that. Wouldn't you agree? And I really don't have a way to describe this, but when the Spirit of God is leading you, if you're a Christian, you know it, don't you?
You really do. And again, is it explainable to people who have never experienced it? I doubt it. But you can know, and my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. Learn to hear his voice. Learn, and it takes time. And but you have to step out in faith and obedience to him. And I want to make sure and get the passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, because this is so important. You've already referred to it, but let me read part of this. And it starts in verse 1, now concerning spiritual gifts. But in verse 3 it says, therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Listen. Even who Christ is, what Christ has done, you can know that mentally. But to have it experientially and to recognize that, to change your will, and even come into the place of spiritual knowledge, it is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Now, verse 4 continues, and I want to bring this in. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities. It is the same God who works in all and in all, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to who? Each believer for the profit of all. In other words, it's not something that's selfish. Your spiritual gift that God has given you is not to make you feel, oh, look what I've done. No, it is given for the profit of the whole body of Christ. If you've been given the gift of giving, yes, it's a joy to give, and you don't have to make a big deal out of it, but everyone gets the benefit of that. When you have the gift of exhortation and you're encouraging people, I want to tell you, Alex, it has a ripple effect. You know? You know, you throw a pebble into the water and you see the ripples. I found this to be so true. I've been down and out, and somebody come who has a word of encouragement for me, and it lifts me up. And guess what I usually wind up doing? I usually try to wind up encouraging someone else. Yeah. And that isn't that what we're talking about, the edification of the whole body of Christ?
Amen. Well said. Well said. And, you know, Romans 12 talks about renewing your mind. We talk about growing in the Lord. The predominant way that you're going to know the Lord and His will and His voice is as you spend time in the Word. And then along life's journey, the Spirit of God will bring things to your remembrance. You know, Bert, it talks about in 1 Corinthians 12, 4, there are diversities or varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. I've been traveling a lot, you know, and I'll meet people, very often total strangers, and they'll say, "Hey, are you a Christian? I'm a Christian." You know, and it's like you've known somebody your whole life because they've got the Holy Spirit of God in them. And I got to say this, and you get us back on Scripture, but I want to share a couple of anecdotes. You read about people back in the 1800s like Charles Finney, an evangelist, and they said sometimes people would just fall backwards when he came into the room. D.L. Moody was the same way because the Spirit of God was so powerful in their life. I've got a dear friend named Herb McCarthy in Wilmington. He might be listening even right now, but for many years he worked for Billy Graham. And this is when their offices were in Minneapolis, Minnesota. And he was talking about how he admired Billy Graham. And Billy Graham was so humble, just lived for one thing, to see souls get saved. But Herb McCarthy said, we often talk about, we can tell it when he comes in the building. They might be like at the other end of the building. But they said, when Reverend Graham comes in the building, we feel it.
Amen.
Now, I'm not trying to get all weird on you, but here's the thing. It's a beautiful thing. It's a powerful thing. It's a fruitful thing when people carry about them the presence of the Holy Spirit. And one of the beautiful things about it, folks, you can have as much of the Lord in your life as you want. You might be limited physically or in athletics or whatever, but when it comes to how deep and how far you go with Jesus, there is no limit. You can have as much of God's presence in your life as you want. It's a beautiful thing, isn't it?
It really is, Alex. And you don't have to have degrees. You don't have to have a certain amount of money. You don't have to have a certain job. The Holy Spirit of God, according to what it says, gives severally to all. To each one is given for the profit of all. Let God use you who are believers to use you to glorify His name and edify the body and bring souls to Christ. The number, 888-589-8840. We would like to take a moment to thank our sponsor, Preborn. When a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears their heartbeat, it's a divine connection. And the majority of the time, she'll choose life. But they can't do it without our help. Preborn needs us, the pro-life community, to come alongside them. One ultrasound is just $28. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby or visit preborn.com. The praises don't stop. The devil's been dropped. There's some good news coming straight from the top. You saved me from the fire. Lifted me higher. Feeling so good. Gonna sing it with the choir. The king is alive.
The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. That's 2 Corinthians 13:14. We've been teaching on that, and we'll kind of hit the pause button on that and take your calls now. If you want to call in with a Bible question, the number is 888-589-8840. We would love to hear from you. If you've never called in to Exploring the Word, well, today be a first-time caller with a question or prayer request, 888-589-8840. And hey, I got to tell people, I know we have a lot of listeners in the Mid-Atlantic region. June 23rd, I'm going to be at a really, really, really great church, Saucastie Baptist Church. Pastor Micah Lane invited me. And so it's in the Myrtle Beach area. I know we have listeners in Charleston and Wilmington and all around. Saucastie Baptist Church, June 23rd. And I value everybody's prayers because in about 14 hours, Bert, I'll be on an airplane to Billings, Montana, the first of seven youth camps, and we'll be with teenagers, and we'll be doing hiking and all that fun camp stuff, but we'll be teaching the Word of God, the gospel, for God and country. We're doing summer camp with youth beginning this week in Montana, so I value everybody's prayers.
Amen. Big sky country, beautiful area. Alex, we'll be praying for you. Put that on your prayer list, all you prayer warriors, for all those teenagers out there, and pray for Alex and those that will be attending. Well, we've got calls coming in, so we're just going to go straight to the phone calls. And sure. Let's go to Hartwell in Louisiana. Hartwell, thank you for calling.
Hello?
Yes, you're on. Go right ahead, brother.
Yes, this is Hartwell from Louisiana. I'm calling with this question. I have talked to people for 31 years about this one world government that's being formed, and they tell me not to dwell on it. Should I stop dwelling on it?
Let me just share this, Hartwell, and I'm going to give you short answers. Usually my mind goes short answers. You're not to dwell on it. You're to dwell on Jesus Christ. Here's what you do. If you dwell, and if it's like looking to something and you stare at something and it's not the one that you're staring at, you will hit the bumps. You'll get into the ditches. We're to keep our eyes on Jesus, visionary. And yes, a one world government, not dwell, but recognize it, know it's coming. Alex, I'm going to use the word, since I said stare, I'm going to say you glance at that, but you dwell on Christ, don't you?
You do. I would encourage people to read Revelation chapter 13, and that's maybe a good starting place. But, you know, it's coming. You know, the Bible does say that history will coalesce into the whole wide world gathering itself against God, led by the Antichrist. But while we are aware of that, and it's a reality, I believe what the Bible says, evil men will wax worse and worse. Here's the beautiful thing, though. It says, this gospel of the kingdom will be preached as a witness to all nations, and then the end will come. And here's the exciting thing, folks. The world, lost sinners are going to do what lost sinners do. But, Bert, even as we speak, with the internet and satellite communications, the Word of God is going places it's never gone before. People are getting evangelized. Now, not everybody accepts Christ, sadly, but the world is hearing about Jesus. And I'm excited because Christ is coming. It may be very, very soon, and we can be ready, and we can help others be ready as well.
Amen. That scripture that you used is right in the middle of Jesus' discord about the future events. And in the middle of that future events, and it's in Matthew 24:14, you've already quoted it, but in this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. What are we to concentrate on? On the gospel and sharing Jesus Christ with the world. And then these other events are and I don't know how to say, are peripheral. Yeah, they're going to come. But Jesus is the one that we concentrate on. And thank you for calling, and you've helped us to share that today. Appreciate you, brother. Keep on listening. Okay, let's go to Texas and talk to Christy. Christy, thank you for calling Exploring the Word today.
Good afternoon. My question, I think, is a little bit simpler than that, the one we just heard. I was curious, y'all had been speaking just a moment ago about being filled with the Holy Spirit and people recognizing that. And ironically, that just happened to me at the grocery store. And a man circled by me a second time and said, I just have to let you know that I'm a Christian and I've been a Christian all my life, and I can just really tell that you are just filled with the Holy Spirit. I don't know what to say. When people say that, what do you say?
You turn it. I know I sound like
to
a broken
God
record.
Be the glory.
Yes, that's what you do. To Jesus be praised. To God be the glory. And then give a testimony. He has. He's come into my life. He's changed my life. He dwells in my life. And thank God for that. And then you might say, okay, is he in your life? Alex, sounds like Christy. let me just share this real quick. Be filled with the Spirit. And I know I repeat myself sometimes, but these things, some of them are so important. I know we talk about like filling a cup or filling a jug, but the word fill there is a nautical term. It's like filling the sails of a sailboat. And when that happens, when the filling of the sails happen, it empowers us. It directs us. And when I found that out, I was reading that. I did not know it, but I remember taking Greek in college at Blue Mountain, and we were going through the book of Ephesians in Greek, and we came to that, and I found out from that word that it was not necessarily a measurement like a jug or jar, but it was a nautical term of filling the sails. I said, wow, that's what he does. We surrender our lives to him, hold up our lives. He fills us with his Spirit. That's what happened on Pentecost, a roaring mighty wind. There's some consistency there. He will direct us, and he will empower us, won't he?
Amen. Absolutely, he will. And, you know, Christy, God bless you for representing the Lord so well. You know, I think about Galatians 5, 22 and following. It talks about the fruits of the Spirit, and it is a beautiful thing, love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, goodness. I would encourage people to read, really, Galatians 5, 17 through 26. And I'll tell you why, because there are the fruits of the flesh and the sin that are listed, but then in contrast, there are the fruits of the Spirit. And, you know, we were in Romans 12, 6 through 8, and it talks about the gifts of the Spirit, which are like supernatural abilities God imparts to you at the moment of salvation. But the fruits, one commentator says that the Spirit-filled Christian is God-like. Now, we're not God. That's New Age. We're not God, but we are representatives. And like when that individual saw you at the store and just knew, I've seen that, Bert. I've been out and I've seen people, and you just know they're a Christian, and because the love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control, it just shows forth. When somebody is filled with the Spirit, you know it, don't you?
You really do. Ephesians, be filled with the Spirit and do not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And it will be noticed. It really is. Christy, keep on going to the grocery store and representing Jesus Christ. Our witness goes with us wherever we go. So thank you for that call, and it was encouraging to us to hear. Hey, we're going to have time for another call or two, and that number is 888-589-8840. If you've got a question, it'd be a good time to call. Let's go to Georgia. Marie, thank you for calling, Exploring the Word.
Yes, sir. I have not noticed a phrase in the Bible and had it called to my attention by a cousin, and I don't know what it is or who it is. It's called the Council of Heaven.
Okay. Do you remember where that was, what place in the Bible that was referring to, Marie?
I do not. My cousin was telling me there's a place in the Old Testament and the New Testament. The man that wrote a book about it that he read had a degree in Greek and Hebrew and theology and so forth, and he was talking about that. Is there anything else that could mean the Council of Heaven?
Alex, go ahead. Is it the Trinity? I don't know, you know?
That's exactly what I said to him.
Let me say this. There is council, C-O-U-N-C-I-L, like in the book of Acts, there was a Jerusalem council, in other words, like a meeting. But then the Bible does talk about God's counsel, C-O-U-N-S-E-L, like the things that God foreordains in his mind. You know, it talks about in a number of places, very much through the Old Testament, but Jesus himself refers to, you know, God's counsel. In other words, the things that God sovereignly has ordained. And so any council in heaven, let me just say that they don't need to vote on anything in heaven, but I think what it probably was a reference to is God's ordination and providential leading of history himself. One place that it does talk about the counsel of God, as in S-E-L, God's thoughts within the Trinity and then God's plan, is in Acts chapter 2, that really Peter is preaching in Acts 2, 22 through 27, about how Jesus was delivered up by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. And this is Acts 2:23, by the way, and that is counsel. So, Bert, understand that counsel, as in God's plans that he knows, Jesus was foreordained to be our Savior. But then a meeting of men, counsel, a council, that would be the difference. Do you understand?
Yes. Marie, we hope that helps. And you, good question. Thank you for calling us. Let's go to Mississippi. David, thank you for calling, Exploring the Word today.
Hey, Bert and Alex. First of all, thank you so much for what y'all do every day and for your witness. And I mean, I'm just blessed every time that I hear you. I told Brent that I received a Facebook post about the English Standard Version and the new NIV versions omitting verses from the Bible and or not including several of the, you know, it might contain part of the verse. I'm concerned, and specifically Matthew 17:21, 18:11, 23rd chapter, verse 14, as well as Mark 7:16, 9:44, 9:46, Luke 17:36. There's several of these things that are totally omitted, and I'm sitting under the preaching from the ESV, and I'm wondering, like, is this something I should be concerned about?
David, thanks for calling. Usually the ones that I have, if they don't contain it in the script there, and that's a high word, they will have a note at the bottom letting you know what was left out and so forth. I understand your concern, and I think it is a concern, Alex. It makes people, where is that, you know? I think it'd be much better. And that's the reason, listen, I've got a new favorite version that's the New Living Translation. I can tell you that. I'm reading through the
NLT.
Yeah, I'm reading through the Bible using that translation this year. And listen, it's a blessing. But usually, don't they usually have a footnote for anything like that in those, Alex? You know,
they will. And, you know, we really need to do an entire show on this. And I want to do a show on this because there are a couple of considerations. And one of the most simple explanations is that when the Old and New Testaments are translated, God's Word in Old and New Testament, that's very often called the donor language, D-O-N-O-R. And then there's the recipient language, which could be English, Spanish, anything, you know, any language. Sometimes to convey what the biblical writers originally wrote, a recipient language, it may cause there to be some, not changes, but like for the word love. Well, we have L-O-V-E, but there are four different Greek words for love. And so as best we know, for instance, Bert, 2 hours from where I'm sitting is Wycliffe Bible Translators. And there are 300 to 500 people at any given time working on getting God's Word into various dialects. And to the best of their ability, they are trying, without compromising the meaning at all, they're trying to get the truth of God's Word into the recipient languages. So when we talk about the inerrancy of Scripture, we're talking about what's called the autographa, or the autographs, the original language and content in Hebrew and Greek. Now, I don't want anybody to panic and say, oh, wait a minute, is my Bible the Word of God? Here's what I say, and I think it's very true. The Bible that you are reading is every bit as inspired as the manuscripts from which it was taken. Now, why some translations in the notes talk about a passage they might question or leave out. That's a little bit longer of an answer. So we'll have to get that on another day. But here's the thing. The New American Standard, the NLT, New King James, ESV, you can depend that this is God's Word. It's just there are some idiosyncrasies when any work is translated, isn't there, Bert?
Good answer, David. We hope that helps. Matter of fact, we're going to hit some topics next week as well. And Alex, I'm writing it down. Brent's writing it down. We're going to cover that next week so people want to listen and find out. Thank you for listening to Exploring the Word here on the American Family Radio Network.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.
You've heard a lot about saving babies on this show. That's because it's important to me personally. And let me just be frank with you. We need to save them. That is why we've partnered with Preborn, the nation's leader in introducing mothers with unplanned pregnancies to their babies. And once she hears that heartbeat and sees that precious life growing inside of her, she is twice as likely to choose life. Now that's a miracle. But quite honestly, if we don't save them, who will? Preborn receives no government funding, so their work is completely dependent on us. Preborn has rescued over 280,000 babies. And that's not all. They provide love, support, and counseling for up to 2 years for free, saving lives and souls. One ultrasound is just $28, or 140 helps to rescue 5 babies. Abortion doesn't stop, so we can't. Together, you and I can save lives. Just call #250 on your cell phone and say the keyword baby. That's 250 baby. Or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.